Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode until today's question-and-answer session. At that time, you will be allowed one question and one follow-up question. I would like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded, and if you object to that for any reason, you may disconnect at this time. I will now hand the conference over to your Senior Public Affairs Director. You may begin.
Hi. Thank you, Sydney, and thank you all for joining us today for this telebriefing. My name is Tom Skinner. I'm a Senior Public Affairs Officer at CDC. Thank you for joining us for the release of an MMWR report today on the immediate closures and violations identified during inspections of public pools and other aquatic venues in five states. Please note that the information delivered here today is embargoed until 1 p.m. Eastern Time today. We're joined today by Dr. Beth Bell, Director of CDC's National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases, and Dr. Michael Beach, the Associate Director for Healthy Water at CDC. Both will provide some opening remarks, and then we will get to your questions. I'll now turn the call over to Dr. Bell.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us today to discuss a new report on health and safety violations at public pools, hot tubs, and water playgrounds. This is a timely report as Monday, May 23rd marks the beginning of the 12th annual Healthy and Safe Swimming Week. As Memorial Day approaches and many of us are looking forward to spending time with our families and friends at the pool, it's important to remember how to keep ourselves and our loved ones healthy and safe. About 4,000 people die from drowning each year. Drowning is the leading cause of injury death among children 1 to 4 years old, and more than half of fatal drownings in this age group occur in a pool. Additionally, almost 350 disease outbreaks linked to pools and other aquatic venues were reported to CDC during 2003 to 2012, and one outbreak can affect hundreds of people. Proper operation and maintenance of public pools and other aquatic venues is critical to prevent injury and illness. CDC looked at data on public aquatic venue operation and maintenance from almost 85,000 state and local inspections of almost 50,000 venues. The inspections were done in 2013 in the five states with the highest numbers of public aquatic venues: Arizona, California, Florida, New York, and Texas. The data, which Dr. Beach will describe in more detail shortly, showed that 1 in 8, that's 12%, of the inspections resulted in immediate closure due to serious health or safety violations. Serious violations include not having adequate disinfectant, like chlorine, in the water to stop the spread of germs, or not having appropriate safety equipment, such as a rescue ring with a rope, to save swimmers who need help. Over three-quarters of inspections found at least one violation. We can and need to do better. No one should get hurt or sick when visiting public pools, hot tubs, water playgrounds, or any other aquatic venue. Good health and safety practices at aquatic venues include having adequate disinfectant and pH in the water to prevent outbreaks linked to swimming in pools and other aquatic venues, and having lifeguards or appropriate safety equipment available to prevent drowning. Everyone has a role to play in making aquatic venues safer to swim in. We rely on aquatic professionals to operate and maintain the facilities in a way that protects the health and safety of swimmers and staff, on environmental health practitioners or public health inspectors to enforce health and safety requirements through inspections, and through swimmers and parents of young children to take an active role in protecting themselves and their loved ones by checking for inspection results and doing their own inspections before getting into the water. Parents and caregivers also should keep an eye on children at all times when in or around the pool. Children can drown in seconds and in silence. I'll now turn this over to Dr. Beach to provide more details in today's report and steps we can all take to stay healthy and safe at the pool. Dr. Beach?
Thanks, Dr. Bell. Thanks a lot for being on here today as we approach Memorial Day and really need to get these messages out to the public. the results of the inspection data, meaning, you know, 1 in 8 pools and hot tubs, 12% being closed immediately, they're clearly concerning. And as Dr. Bell pointed out, we have a long way to go here to lower the number of public aquatic venues with serious health and safety violations. We need to protect the public. Overall, state and local inspections most often identified safety equipment violations during 1 of 8 or 13% of inspections, disinfectant violations, the chlorine levels usually, during 1 of 8 or 12%, and pH violations during 1 of 8 or 12%. And pH is critical here because it determines how effective the disinfectant is at killing germs. So you really need to have both the disinfectant and pH being maintained. More specifically, the data showed that more than 1 in 5 or 22% of kiddie or wading pool inspections resulted in immediate closure. As you can imagine, this is particularly troubling given that young children who are still learning their toileting skills are more likely to contaminate the water. They're more likely to swallow the water, both of which can lead to outbreaks of diarrheal illness. While inspections are an important part of making sure that these aquatic facilities are clean and safe for swimming, almost one-third of local health departments don't currently regulate, inspect, or license public aquatic venues. In those situations, it's generally up to the aquatic staff to properly operate and maintain these venues. And inspections are usually, when they are conducted in other locations, only about 1 to 2, 3 times per year, meaning the health and safety conditions can vary considerably between inspection dates. So we really need a partnership to be built here. Therefore, we really want to encourage swimmers and parents of young children in particular to take an active role in protecting everyone's health and safety in and around the water. Check for the results of state or local public aquatic venue inspections online or on site before getting in the water. The results might be found on the health department's website, but it varies from state to state. Ask your state, ask your pool operator what those results were. We also recommend swimmers and parents of young children complete their own quick but effective 4-step checklist before getting into the public or really a private pool. Use test strips. They're available at most superstores or pool supply stores to check whether the pH and free chlorine or the bromine levels in the water are correct. Don't forget to follow the manufacturer's directions. You're essentially taking a strip and dipping in the water and reading a color. Make sure the drain at the bottom of the deep end of the pool is visible. This means the water is clear enough for lifeguards and others to see swimmers underwater who may need help. If you can't see the main drain, the pool shouldn't be open. Check the drain covers appear to be secured in good repair. Swimmers can get trapped underwater by loose and broken drain covers. And finally, confirm that a lifeguard's on duty where they're required. If not, make sure the safety equipment, like a rescue ring or a pole, is available so that you can help save lives. Whether it's a lifeguard or not, parents should always keep an eye on their children. They're a key aspect to safety. If you find any problems, don't get into the water. Tell the person in charge so the problem can be fixed first. With the swim season on its way, Memorial Day on its way, we hope we've given you some helpful tips to help keep you and loved ones healthy and safe. Just about everyone knows someone or they do it themselves from a swimming standpoint, so we need everybody to be part of this. Public health and aquatic staff really should work together to make sure aquatic venues are safe for people to swim in, and they all need to be partnering with the general public to get these messages out. Every family can check for inspection results and do their own quick but effective inspection to help protect themselves and their loved ones this summer and year-round. It's going to be another great swim season. We want to make it healthier and safer. Thanks.
Thank you, Drs. Bell and Beach. And Sydney, I believe we're ready for any questions that reporters may have.
And at this time, if you do have any questions, please press star 1 and record your first and last name, as well as your affiliation. Again, that is star 1 and record your first and last name, as well as your affiliation. It will take just a moment for questions to queue. Please stand by. Our first question will come from David Beasley with Reuters. Your line is open.
Yes. Is this the first of its kind study? It seems to be based on what I was reading. In other words, with these kind of stats from county health departments, et cetera?
That's correct. This is Michael Beach. That's correct. We have done this, and other groups have done this in a very kind of one-time deal looking at results, but this really is the launch of a national sentinel tracking system for these inspections where we're working with the states, you know, and the local counties hand-in-hand to bring these results into kind of a comprehensive picture of what we think is going on.
Right. I also noticed there were, I believe, three to 5,000 emergency room visits annually nationally for things like skin and eye damage from pools and from breathing the fumes, that kind of thing?
Correct. It's not in part of this study, but we certainly have those other data. But those are really about issues with people coming to emergency rooms, and as you said, it could be opening a bucket and getting the chemical in your eyes and all sorts of kind of pool chemical-associated injuries that show up, really illustrating how we've got to be extremely vigilant to reduce the amount of injuries that are occurring here. And that actually goes not just for the public settings that we're talking about, but for the residential setting. You know, if you're putting pool chemicals in your pool, you don't take along your toddler with you while you're doing it. There's really led to some of the injuries that we've seen.
Next question, Sydney.
Our next question will come from Leanne Winnick of CBS News. Your line is open. Please check your mute button or pick up your handset.
Hello. Thank you. Since there's some freshwater public pools and swimming holes, could the heavy rains in the south pose a problem for these facilities? And also, are you expecting any uptick in any certain type of bug or virus this year?
Sorry, can you repeat the last part? Are we expecting something new?
Any uptick in any certain type of bug or virus in the water this year, anything in particular that might be going around in places where swimming season has started?
Certainly not at this point in time, but diarrheal diseases are present in a large portion of the population, and unfortunately pools are one of the places that we spread those amongst us. So nothing that we can see that's unusual here. Freshwater pools, again, kind of fall outside the scope of this particular surveillance system. We really want to be very careful about what those are. These are all chlorinated pools, just to correct that.
Okay. Thank you.
Or brominated, but they're all essentially disinfected pools.
Thank you.
Next question, Sydney.
As a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. Our next question will come from Dennis Thompson of Health Day. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking our questions. I think you've addressed this slightly already, but if you could go into a little bit more detail, what are the main contaminants that are needing to be sanitized in this water, and where are they coming from?
Right. So I can start with where they come from. Unfortunately, this is called diarrheal incidents, where basically somebody who's ill with diarrhea has a release in the pool, and then it's a very common occurrence to swallow pool water while you're swimming, and so it's a pretty simple way of spreading illness here, and that's generally what we see are basically kind of two tiers of infections. One is from the parasite Cryptosporidium, which you may have heard of. Cryptosporidium is resistant or very tolerant to chlorine, and so it's kind of evades that main barrier that we have in pools. That accounts for about three-quarters of the outbreaks that we see every year, and we certainly have guidance for how we need to improve operation, construction, and disinfection to combat that particular parasite. About the other, you know, quarter of outbreaks that we see are traditional ones such as kind of Shigella, Campylobacter, E. coli, and so on, that are quite chlorine-sensitive. And what that indicates to us is that's about very poor pool operation. Generally, the sorts of things we're looking for in these inspections, you don't have chlorine, your pH is way off, those sorts of things where you can now spread a germ that should be taken care of by good pool operation. And so that 25% of outbreaks really indicates, again, as this surveillance summary does, that we need to do a better job here. That's those types of outbreaks, the Campylobacter, Shigella, E. coli, and that should not occur in a pool that's operated properly. And so we know that that's pointing out that we have a ways to go from a training and operation standpoint. Cryptosporidium is another issue where in CDC's voluntary guidance put out to the states last year, the Model Aquatic Health Code, we really speak to implementing secondary disinfection and other methods that will combat cryptosporidium in the nation's pools, because I think this is something that's changed the paradigm of traditional pool operation where we rely on filters and chlorine to do everything. Now we know that we've got to do more to combat this particular parasite. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Sydney, if there are no other questions, do you want to remind our callers one more time how to queue a question? And if we do not get any more questions, we'll conclude the call.
Definitely. If you do have a question, again, it is star one. Please record your first and last name as well as your affiliation at the prompt. That is star one if you do have a question. Please stand by. Our next question will come from David Beasley of Reuters. Your line is open.
Thank you. Could you talk about, were you surprised by these numbers, particularly the nearly 80%, the pools and the hot tubs in these five states had at least one violation? Were you expecting it to be that high?
Yeah. Glad you got back in the queue there. It's a good question. I think, unfortunately, we aren't surprised, because what we've seen in previous publications looking at this is, similar sorts of results where we need to move forward. And again, I think this is a multi-component system that we have to work on here, but certainly training and education and new standards to put out there as far as how to combat cryptosporidium and other things that I've mentioned are really needed here. And that's really why, back 8 years ago or whatever, we started working along with our state and local partners, and the industry basically asked us to develop as on a national level the Model Aquatic Health Code, which was released last year, in 2014. And, that we needed to work together to think about what was the future bringing, what do we see from the data that we were gathering here at CDC, and how could we put together a national package with all of those partners to address these issues. And so we think this will take time and commitment from all parties, but I think we're moving forward on that as we go, that many of these issues, newer issues and emerging issues, will be addressed as state and local health departments start to think about taking some of this guidance and putting it into their own regulation.
Thank you.
Sydney, do we have any more questions?
We don't have any more questions in queue at this time.
Okay, then we'll conclude the call, and I want to thank Drs. Bell and Beach for joining us today, as well as all the reporters who dialed in. A transcript of this call will be made available through the CDC Media Relations webpage later this afternoon, and should reporters have follow-up questions, they may call the CDC press office at 404-639-3286, or they may email media@cdc.gov. Thank you once again for joining us. This concludes our call.
And with that, you may disconnect. Thank you for your participation,